The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon, we have Lou Aristesi, and he is the owner of a company called Gov Innovators. Good afternoon, young man. How are you?
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Good. You know, I bring in people all the time. We talk about cloud systems. We talk about government innovation. We talk about new this and new that. And I thought I'd bring in someone who maybe is an insider and an outsider to bring in his perspective on this whole concept of innovation. And you know, everyone can walk in. You know, the White House brings people in from Silicon Valley, and they pound on the table, and they go, innovation, and they leave. And then we have some people like you who've been actually in, you know, got boots on the ground, and got your fist bloodied in battles in the federal government. And I think you know a little bit about how innovation works in the federal government. I wanted to bring you in, talk about innovation, and maybe talk about our friends at the Executive Leadership Conference and what's going on there, later on this month. But first of all, tell us about your background, how you got involved in the federal government.
Thanks, John. Well, I've been around government since out of college. I actually worked for local government in Ohio and then US EPA. And in here in Washington, and then I began consulting when I left EPA. So I believe in government. I believe in good government. And you use the word innovation. People use the word innovation with government, and sometimes a chuckle. And I think that's unfair. Government really innovates a lot. If innovation is doing something different to add value for customers, you stand up a government program to solve a problem. That's an innovation. So I look forward to talking with you more in detail about, like you said, in the trenches.
The provost at Georgetown had me come in and give a talk the other night to a bunch of graduate students working on their capstone project.
Yeah.
Let me talk about entrepreneurship. And I said, I've worked for the biggest company in the world. I have. I work for Exxon. I work for the smallest company in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? No matter what kind of big organization you have, it's just almost impossible to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't cruise into Exxon and go blah, blah, blah and walk out. And the same thing with the federal government.
That's right.
Anytime you get groups of humans together in big bunches, I don't know how the Army gets from point A to point B at all. It's just tough, isn't it?
It is. Organizations develop rules to get the jobs done, and you know they become rule-bound. And you're absolutely right. That's true in the commercial world, academia, nonprofits. It's a human nature thing. And so it's sometimes, you know, bureaucracy, right, is in the pejorative sense, is a criticism of government. It's not unique to government. It is a fact of organizations.
My wife and I had our kids. They grew up and left us, and so we downsized. We had all this junk. We didn't even know we had all this stuff. We have boxes and boxes of junk. We didn't know what to do with it. And we figured out what to do with it. We threw it away.
Right.
The same thing happens in the federal government. You know, all of a sudden, you got a budget of X. You're all happy. You're reaching. And all of a sudden, your budget gets pulled back. That's when you have to look at innovation. I mean, the motivator that I can see for innovation is going to be dwindling budget. I mean, or substantial change, management change, substantial. And so let's talk about motivation for even innovating in the federal government. Is it budget only, or is it workforce changes? Is it business model changes?
You know, there's some classic drivers in change management, and you named a couple of them there. The hiring of millennials, the retiring of the baby boomers is certainly something that makes everybody sit up and take notice of how you're going to resource to get the job done. So those can raise questions. That can raise questions about innovation. The budget is really driving different conversations. Shared service has been around for what, John? 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But when my budget's gotten squeezed to a point and yours has gotten squeezed to a point, we might be having coffee sometimes saying, well, you know, John, we could share. It could be a data farm. You know, it could be a system. It could be resources. It's driving a conversation that is leading to more innovation, along with the notion of innovation is out there. And you mentioned entrepreneurship. It's really a mindset, right? It comes with there's best practices, there's lessons learned, there's activities you execute, but really it's a mindset. How do you look at your organization in its environment, how to operate the best you can?
innovation is always difficult. Small companies, big companies. In the NFL, it's difficult to have innovative strategies because people always kind of figure out what's going on. One way to learn about innovation in the federal government is to attend conferences. And there's all kinds of conferences out there. Tell us about this conference coming up, please, Lou.
ACT-IAC is an IT association in town here that's got two parts to it. The Industry Advisory Council, which is the industry members, and the American Council on Technology, which are the government members. And ACT-IAC's a cool association in that everything it does is jointly led by a government lead and an industry lead, right up to the top of the two organizations that collaborate, all the way down through the work structure, like the shared interest groups or the communities of interest. They're all led by a government official and an industry official. And the conference is a big conference of theirs annually in Williamsburg. About 900 people.
October 25th.
October 25th.
You can take a train right down there, by the way. Union Station, train right down there.
Yes, and it better than 95. this year's theme is Government 2020. Imagine the possibilities. So we're gonna a lot of the sessions look ahead at what we'd like to see in 5 years, and then maybe pull back and say, all right, what do we do today, this year, next year, to get to the outcomes in 5 years.
And different sessions in there.
I think you're moderating a session.
Tell me about the sessions you're moderating. I hope they got something to do with innovation.
There's a lot about innovation. In fact, there's something called the Innovation Zone. What ACT-IAC's done in the past few years is innovated conferences for itself. It really has pushed away from the strict panel format and the talking head format. And it's really worked hard to present information in different ways and engage people in different ways. So there's innovation zones and there's challenge zones, and there's more open and free-flowing conversations in some sessions between between leaders of the session and participants. And then you've got some conventional, more conventional panel type discussions. So one I'm working on is intergovernmental IT, and Adrian Gardner is going to lead that one. And there's other K.E. Lee and some other federal officials are on that. And we're really going to look at how IT in government is really intergovernmental more than we often think about it. It involves a lot of coordination between federal, state, and local government. I think that the future of solving big problems in the country is more intergovernmental. And that makes the future of IT more intergovernmental. So then you can start to ask questions that we ask within agencies, and we're asking more within the federal enterprise. It's the planning conversations. It's the investment conversation. Well, what are our objectives? They're becoming more intergovernmental. What IT do we need to support that?
And for more information about the conference, it's actiac.org, I think, actiac.org. And what about your company? Where can they find your company?
GovInnovators.com.
And I was there this morning. There's a bunch of stuff there. There's blogs. I was reading one of your blogs this morning and taking notes. So if you're thinking about innovation, it's not a bad place to start and maybe get direction and pivot and move there. What kind of stuff can you find at your website?
Thanks. The blogs I wrote were intended to be very actionable. So they were topics about what innovation is and how it's executed. And something that somebody could read in about 750 words and go try. That was my goal. And it ranges from things that are organizational, institutional, down to some things that are more individual. You know, I have a master's in conflict resolution. So some of the blogs were about change causing conflict and how individuals handle conflict, how teams handle conflict, and how to do it productively.
You know, you hit the nail right in the head. I've had so many people in here that say, I'm with company XYZ, and we have this innovative product, and we've tried it 15 places. It works. It saves money. It's easy. And the problem is human beings.
And the problem is.
And the problem is, fill in the blank, human beings, because old Joe Smith over there doesn't like John Gilroy, and he doesn't care if John Gilroy can save him $10,000 a day. It's a conflict resolution. Maybe that's why you have the best background for this.
Well, innovation is very multidisciplinary. To do it well in an organization, you could use lessons learned and best practices from innovation, right? Harvard and MIT and other universities have been studying it for decades. There's libraries full of books on and articles on innovation. But what about strategy, leadership, management, change management, conflict resolution?
What's
you can
the next
go
step?
On and on and on, decision making, on through all of those things. So really, here's a way to look at it. Maybe we could talk about this more. Innovation, if you do something different in an organization to add value for a customer. You're probably going to change something in your technology model, in your business model, and those things will change the cultural model, the organizational behaviors and individual behaviors.
Let's take a break and come back, talk more about innovation. And by the way, before this interview, I typed in innovation, and I got like 3 of the 4 hits were from Harvard Business Review, Harvard Business School. So it's a topic that everyone is considering, not just the federal government. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Luke Carestesi. He's the owner of Gov Innovators. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Lou Carestesi. He's the owner of Gov Innovators, GovInnovators. Go there and read stuff and read the white papers and see what he is. It's interesting. He has a master's degree in contract resolution, and he's been involved in the federal government IT for many years. That's 1 and 1 is 5, isn't it?
It helped.
It helps a whole lot. You know, if I'm standing at a bus stop or, you know, at a conference talking to someone, I go, well, you know, there's our government innovation centers. NASA has got a government innovation center. HHS has got an idea lab. I've had Damon in the studio here. He's taken over my show. And GSA's got innovation centers. So what about these innovation centers? Are they taking business away from you there, Lou?
No, you know, they are sort of popping up all over the place. It's a little bit of let a thousand flowers bloom, and that's okay to start. The center is going to be a place where the organization can concentrate some activity, you know, some effort, right, John? Even just people in conversation about what they're trying to do that's innovative. Some organizations like NASA, you mentioned, have had that mindset for a long time. In fact, last December, I was at a Chief Innovators Conference in New York, and it was all commercial companies, which is really what I wanted to go hear. NASA was there, and they were the only government organization there. But their head's sort of in that space, so they always think that way, and it's not new to them, and it's integrated, right? It's part of the fabric. Innovation centers that are popping up are about different things. A lot of them are around acquisition, and others are around R&D, where there've been R&D operations, and the question is, can we get products out of R&D to the field faster? It seems to be a question of innovation. How do we do that? So there's some, like the Coast Guard is going to be standing up one on for that very thing, and So they do different things. They've got different purposes, but I think functionally all of them are trying to figure out how to make innovate at the concept of innovation mean something to the organization.
Yeah, it's nice to talk about it. Nice to have a little center, but what about the innovation center? Now, you and I both know the classic book, Clayton Christensen's Innovator's Dilemma. We've all read it many times. I have my students read it. And in fact, when you go to Google, type in innovation, it comes up with Harvard, and it's probably because of him and innovation and creativity. He looked at big companies and said the best way to innovate is have a separate little pirate company off on the side, physically separate. And I think this is the model. IBM has an innovation center.
Yeah.
This is the model they're trying to emulate. Now, I don't know if they're successful or not with this.
So there's a lot of lessons learned in the literature about how commercial companies do that, John, and there's trade-offs between, like you said, the little unit off to the side. How integrated is it to the daily operations? How separate is it? Do you need a different chain of command and different reward structure? There's all kinds of things, lessons learned about that in the commercial world. The challenge for government is government doesn't have resources to put teams off to the side, right?
Of course they don't.
You show up every day to get that day's job done, and you end the day and you didn't get done what you needed to get done. There's just more to do than there is time to do it sometimes. So the challenge for government innovation, even with the centers, is those – it becomes other duties as assigned. It's not always somebody's primary or sole responsibility. And that's a drain. But so in one sense, it's more work. Geez, you're going to give me one more thing to do. And it's not a small thing. It's a big thing. The opportunity is – it's like a jiu-jitsu move, John. You could use – the force of innovation in favor of the organization, if you do it right. There's a lot of things the organization is doing that are really operational that you could think about in terms of innovation. Maybe you could bring up in the center for deliberations and decisions, so that you can maximize your time spent on things, and you're not doing 10 or 12 hours a day on your job and then 2 more on innovation.
Well, let's talk about 18F. This is a popular topic in the last couple of months. It came out of the Innovation Center at GSA.
Yeah.
And someone at the GSA said, what we need is tactical teams that can float and move and hit and punch and work with different parts, different interagencies, intergovernmental. And so what's your opinion on that? You studied this.
It's a, you know, and you mentioned, you know, from Christensen, you mentioned the idea that the center that is, how is it related? How is that operation related to the to the operations of the organization that are daily? So every organization every day is delivering value, right?
They're
government programs, right. They're delivering a current value, and the question about innovation is how do you what is the value you add for customers? So the idea of bringing in some teams, if the teams sometimes the disruption that I'm hearing about is not, I think, ideal for the organization. It's one thing to disrupt thinking. The concept that came from, even from Christensen and some others about disruption, and Drucker wrote about this a long time ago, was the innovation disrupts the customer's life, right?
It makes something better. In fact, you wrote a blog about it, didn't you?
It makes something better for the customer, and it gives them a capability they didn't have before. So they can do something, know something, connect to somebody, right? So, and you've got degrees of that. But so what happens is if you innovate in the organization, the organization must change to sustain the innovation of the customer. If you disrupt the organization, if you rattle it, it's one thing if your objective is to try to get some fresh thinking in. It's another thing if you just shake it up and then let it just settle. Maybe that doesn't result in sustained change that adds value for the customer.
You know, I'm thinking about the people in South Carolina right now. They're getting flooded out. There's disruption there, you know.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have your house flooded and move. It's another thing for me to kids grow, you sell the house, you downsize, get a smaller house, you put stuff in storage, you throw that's disruption, but it's a different type of disruption.
Yeah. When you're right. And innovation's a business proposition. And it not just for businesses, but for government. If you're gonna think about and you're gonna make decisions about what you'll do differently to add value for a customer, that's all about business. You will change parts of the organization so that they do something different. You will add a different value proposition for a customer or customer segment. Those are business propositions that can be planned and should be planned, right? People think of innovation as serendipity or alchemy or magic, right? Or creativity even. And it involves creativity, but it is something that you can tie to other management processes in the organization. It's not just a free-for-all.
Federal Highway Administration has a Center for Acceleration of Innovation. And what role does an outsider play? What role do you play in this? Would you be a consultant to these organizations? Or commercial companies have me come in, and I make suggestions, recommendations, and then I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then they change in order to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what your role is, Lou?
What I like to do is, some of the strategy about that. So for a center, it could be the center design operations, right? There's ways you've got to have a pipeline of innovative ideas, and how do you fill the pipeline? What are some criteria for things in the pipeline? Any innovation, a center, a strategy should support business objectives. So I like to make sure that what you're doing with innovation is connected to what your organization's striving for in its goals and objectives. And those are subordinate to the mission, right? It's all about the mission, but there's always priorities and initiatives that the organization is trying to accomplish, innovation should support. So how you arrange your people, your processes, your tools to accomplish that is something that an outsider like Gov Innovators can help with.
In fact, you've written a white paper, How to Create an Innovation Strategy. There's a framework right there.
Yeah, Innovation Strategy. There's one on how to create an innovation center, and there's one on how to buy innovation, which is, of course,
Not, you know, when I get tech companies in here, they say, no, the tech can do this. It's great. Fantastic. The block is the human beings. But really, the block, I think, in many cases is acquisition. Because, look, you know, cloud services, dynamic pricing, we don't do it this way. We've always done it X, Y, and we're comfortable with IBM. We're comfortable with Microsoft. And this company with a funny name like Box that has dynamic pricing.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand that.
Right.
I mean, this is the innovation in acquisition.
Yeah. And you're right. And What's happened in the tech world is that, remember back in the day when there really was a line between products and services? Now, companies are bundling things so much these days that line's going away. And then they're offering things to government that, you're absolutely right, traditionally government wasn't used to buying that way. So the industry's offers change, the pricing changes, the capabilities change. We all, as human beings, we all tend to do what we've been doing, or we tend to base what we do next on what we did last. So part of the disruption in the thinking that is innovation is to change that.
Especially if you've been successful.
Yeah. Well, right. Why change? Or, you know, another thing that happens is it's a fair criticism or a fair concern, let's say, for somebody in a mid-manager in government who's got to protect the value being delivered that day. Nobody's clear on how innovation is going to work. Part of it is to discover. But look, John, let's be honest. There's some other questions that person has.
Let's take a break and answer some of those questions. We're talking about innovation here with Lou Caristesi, and he is the owner of GovInnovators, and you are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Lou Caristesi. He is the owner of GovInnovators, and we're talking about innovators in the federal government. What a perfect background. The guy's got a master's degree in conflict resolution and 20 years experience in technology. I mean, you know, this is the perfect mix for trying to figure out how innovation in the federal government.
Causing some trouble.
Yeah. The bad news is it causes trouble. And before the break, we were talking about mid-level managers, but I want to jump in here and really talk about social media. Many of my students, many of my listeners read blogs and get blogs for information. Is there a blog that you read that maybe could assist people with technology or innovation or maybe acquisition innovation? Is there anything you can suggest?
You know, John, the big thinking about innovation is really in some of the universities. And I read HBR and I read MIT Sloan blogs and articles. And it's all about commercial, though. So the translation to make is, because you won't find many articles where they're talking about government innovation.
Right.
So the translation is you apply you look at the lessons learned and best practices, and then you ask, all right, how would that work in government?
And that's the question. If I went to the ELC conference, I would informally meet people at a coffee or something and say, well, what do you guys read? I mean, here I'm working over at DOI, over at Interior, and I'm beating my head against the wall. I'm trying to get ideas. I listen to John Gilroy's guests and try to get ideas, but I like to read blogs and get ideas. And it's, you know, I read David Linthicum, and he's a commercial guy, but written 13 books. He really keeps up with a lot of specifically cloud innovations and challenges with integrating cloud systems together.
You know, I read Greg Sattel. Greg is a
how do you spell his name?
Sattel. He is an occasional blogger from his website, and he's a guest a blogger on Harvard Business Review and some others. And so you're looking for people who really are unthinking what everybody's thinking about something and rethinking it from a whole different way. It doesn't always mean you got to go blow up an organization to do something, but you want your thinking to be outside the box to then think about how do I apply it? What do I do? What don't I do? There's always decisions to make about what you don't do.
When I was a young man, I used to read a lot of books. I read a book called Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas by Hunter S. Thompson, and he had crazy stories about Las Vegas and other places of the country. But fear and loathing, I love the topic of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about fear and mid-level managers. Okay, so Joe Schmo is a mid-level manager over at Justice, and he's got people above him saying, got to innovate. He's got new young people just out of college below him saying, hey, we got to make this transition to Zuora for subscription billing, which is a cloud-based service. And they're sitting there, and are they afraid of the change? Are they afraid of innovation? Partial, one, you know, in for a pound, or what do they do?
Great question. And, you know, by nature, humans are either risk tolerant or risk averse, and research says that we're more risk averse, right? So the reactions you get about innovation, some people look at it as opportunity, as new, fresh, maybe there's something in it for me. Most look at it with some skepticism and some fear and some concern, and there's good reason for that. So you hear a lot about the mid-level manager being the blocking innovation, and I think that's an uncharitable way to put it. Executives might want innovation, but if they've not really charted a course for that, if they've not talked about what innovation means to them for the mission, then they've left some ambiguity for someone else to figure out. That becomes the job of the mid-level manager. If you've got at you know, lower levels of the organization, if you've got some young people, as you mentioned, who are coming in just with expecting to use different technologies in the workplace, or think of all the science missions in government. There's a lot. Science and technology missions. there's cutting edge all around the government that's about innovation, technology innovation. NOAA working with universities.
That's a good
example, think about the Intel community, which is really on the cutting edge of technologies that we don't even know about. That's the way it should be. So how does it end up that the middle manager is getting the saddle on his or her back for? Well, they're the ones that are maybe trying to protect the current value of the organization. If everyone's showing up that day to get the job done that day, if you blow it up, your customer is going to say, "Hey, I didn't get my Social Security check.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't. Hey, that's I'm getting in my weather notices late now. The storm's already hit
right.
me.
Right. This isn't so, like donut delivery. This is important
that's
stuff.
Right. It really in government. It's not that it doesn't matter in the commercial world, but in the commercial world, what matters is you is your market share. In the government, what matters is these are citizens expecting government services for life and property and health and safety reasons. So someone's got to show up every day to get that job done. And then to try to innovate at the same time can be a concern.
You should write an article, Federal Times. It should be fear, mid-level managers, and innovation. I mean, that's the formula. And that's really, and these are the people that really get things done. And they're right in the middle of the fight. And talk about, change management, talk about technology, acquisition.
They're
smack dab in the middle of conflict resolution, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it is. It is. And so my white paper on what is innovation looks at innovation from three perspectives. It looks at it from the customer's perspective because the customer wants some satisfaction with the capability you provide, right? It looks at it from the organization's perspective, and it looks at it from the individual's perspective. And those three things come together. Innovation offers opportunities to manage these concerns, and actually you can manage them very effectively. That gets into some of the processes of innovation, some of the method and tools that you have to give some definition to beyond just the concept.
So if you're listening to this and want to speak with Lou, maybe grab him by the tie and say, "Lou, you don't know what you're talking about," you'll be at this little ELC coming up. Is that
right? I will
be
at ELC October 25th, 26th, 27th. It's going to be a great conference, as ELC always is, with looking at what the future of government is, 2020, government 2020. Imagine the possibilities.
I tell my students, blogs are great, podcasts are great, interviews are good, books are fine. But, if you just grab Lou by the tie and say, "Lou, tell me about this innovation. What about a mid-level? I'm a mid-level manager. What do you know about mid-level managers?" You can say, "Actually, I have a master's degree in conflict resolution. I understand exactly what you're going through every single day." You can say, "Well, Lou, what are the best practices for me to handle this conflict?" Well, thank you. Let's have a cup of coffee and one, two, three.
You're right. There's lots of good things to read. Everybody who tries to implement something has to apply a best practice or a lesson learned in a very particular situation, in a moment in time, a certain team configuration, certain issues, certain challenges. So how you apply a lesson learned, really, you're right. It benefits the conversation, benefits the application of those lessons.
Tony Scott has his regular his regular talk that he gives, and he talks about time to change, time to market. And I think that's what you mentioned that earlier, and I said, geez, time to market, that's for innovation, stitch in time saves nine. Wait a minute, it has to be done quickly. So innovation has to have a certain time aspect to it, doesn't it?
It ideally, yes. And in the commercial world, failing fast means you figure out at the least time and cost what features of your product or your service aren't going to work. And you shed them, and you keep leading with what's going to work. Government can apply that. Now we get to the application question, John. Government can apply that same concept. So if you have an R&D center and you're trying to get products out of R&D into the field faster, and this is where U.S. Digital Services and 18F and some of the other organizations are trying to advance thinking on this. So do it in an agile manner. Do it more iteratively and incrementally so that failing fast doesn't mean you tank something. It means you learn in a short period of time without a lot of investment what's not going to, like say software development. You know something about software development. What doesn't work? You leave that behind. You keep emerging with the things that the customer needs.
Two weeks ago, I asked one of my guests, I said, "What if 18F fails?" Well, guess what? They'll learn from that.
Right.
And they'll fail, and it'll be a different way to do, agile software
perfect
development.
Perfect point. Innovation should have learning objectives to it. I mean explicit. explicit objectives of what is it we're setting out to learn. Because there is a discovery process as part of innovation, and you don't know what you're going to learn. So you might as well start out by saying, we think we want to try to figure out this, how to get products out of R&D faster. We think that it's getting slowed down here. So you could hypothesize some things, right? Remember back in school? So it's like a testable hypothesis. And you set out to test it, to pilot, to beta it, and you learn, and then you'll learn some things you expected. You'll learn some things you didn't expect. You fold that back into your improving your process.
Let's take a break and come back. We'll talk more about disrupting technologies and innovation in the federal government. Maybe we'll touch on 18F and talk about the ELC
and maybe
conference
FITARA.
Coming up. FITARA fits in this whole general conversation as well. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Lou Karastesi. He's the owner of Gov Innovators. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Lou Karastesi. He is the owner of Gov Innovators. We're talking about all kinds of innovation. One innovation is that this is a podcast. So your friends and relatives and your neighbors can go to the Apple Store, go to iTunes and type in Federal Tech Talk, Federal News Radio, and you can listen to this the next time you drive to a wedding in Ohio. What about your social media presence? You on Twitter at all?
I am on Twitter at gov_innovators. And
you can follow me. I'm at Ray Gilray, and I tweet a whole lot, and I take pictures. I'm taking a picture of Lou. I'm going to tweet it out and have a lot of fun here. Earlier in the show, we talked about innovation and human problems and innovation and acquisition. Now, there's a little meeting coming up in a couple of weeks that's going to deal with innovation and acquisition. What's this group again? What's the name?
Yeah, this is another one, a firm, which is the Association for Federal Information Resource Management. And we've got a luncheon on November 17th at 11:30 at Clyde's in D.C., and the topic is FITARA, but the focus is going to be on the collaboration between the chief innovation officer and the chief acquisition officer.
There's conflict resolution.
You know, there's some really cool things going on. So, for example, Luke McCormick and Soraya Carrera are working very, very closely together as executives in a big organization, right? DHS, chief procurement executive, chief information officer. And then you've got some organizations where those linkages just haven't existed, right? You know, organizations, things sort of grow over time from the bottom up, and they need connected at some point in the future. So FITARA is going to help make some of those connections.
Great. One connection that I have is I'm connected to my audience. And they'll walk up to me and go, hey, that guy Lou, we had him on the air. He's a conflict resolution guy. What kind of phone does he have? That's what they want to know. You know, they don't want to know about your white papers. They don't want to know about your speaking. They don't want to know about your innovation. What kind of a phone does he have? So I've come up with a 10-question scientific test that's going to determine whether or not you are a card-carrying nerd. Lou, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First question, do you have an Instagram account?
No.
Ooh. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
Weak answer. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Just the government? No, just the government.
You're sinking fast. Have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
No.
Oh, you are normal. You're no nerd. What kind of smartphone do you have?
This is I'm in the iPhone world now.
Okay, you're okay. That's okay. that's duly noted, by the way. You should be enthusiastic about your... What was the most popular app in that phone in the last 30 days?
Mine?
Yeah. What's the most popular app you've used?
Oh. Probably my banking.
Okay, that's a weak answer. If you break into your house this evening, how many tablets do we see floating around there?
Oh, just one. Just the one I'm standing here with.
These aren't the good answers here, Lou.
No.
This is not a nerd answer.
Minimalist technology.
When was your most recent post in social networking? That delay means you lose
that
answer.
It's been a while.
It should be 10
long.
Minutes ago or during the show.
No, it's been too long.
When is your Apple Watch due?
No, that's probably not going to happen.
Look,
I am not a card carrying.
You're not a nerd here, buddy. Last question. You better have the right answer for that. Last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Oh, electronic. I read both, but a lot of electronic.
You finally got one right. One out of 10. You are no nerd, Lou. You are no nerd. How can you walk into this office like that?
I'm a geek, but I'm not a nerd.
A geek, but not a nerd. You know, people talk about innovation, and one of the concepts you talked about earlier was, okay, you go to Innovation Center, and they say X, Y, and Z, and then it goes nowhere. I'll say. So what's going to happen with innovation in the federal government? You know, we talked about 18F. Is that going to fail? Is it going to be 19F? Where is innovation headed for the federal government?
You know, it's top from the top down, it helps to have a strategy, right? So the leadership articulates a vision for how they want something to work. From the bottom up, it helps to give people, empower people to execute against that strategy. And that's true of anything. That's true of a project, program of anything.
I'll give you the Ike and Mike argument. You know, Mike Tyson said, everyone's got a plan to get punched in the face. and here's Ike. Ike said, everyone has to have a plan. Even if you don't use it, you have to have a plan in order to have something to pivot from. So I like Ike a lot.
Well, and the thing, and we all know this from other fields of endeavor. It's true of innovation too. The plan is a snapshot in time, right? The important thing is planning. Planning and strategy can freeze things if it's something you're going to do every year. So the mindset of innovation, or you mentioned, I keep thinking about your mention of the entrepreneur earlier and the students, the mindset of the entrepreneur, the mindset of innovation is it's continuous. So you have some strategic thinking that leads to some strategic action. And then when you begin to operate in the world, your organization, your customer environment, you check what's going on. You see what impact you're having on the environment. The environment's going to work on you. Things are going to change on you. You mentioned budgets. You mentioned...
last year was a classic. Last April 1st, all kinds of cloud services people dropped their prices. And people thought it was a joke. And they had budgeted, they had planned for, let's say, $100 a week. And all of a sudden, it dropped to $40 a week. Mm-hmm. And people thought it was a joke. So you have to have that plan.
You
have
monitor,
the flexibility in there.
Monitor the environment and then make adjustments as you go, right? So as you work in the environment and look, change isn't just something that should happen to you. You could plan change. You can create change in the environment. That's what it means to do something different to add value for a customer. You're making a change. And then you figure out the impact you're having and what is impacting you, and you keep that conversation going.
If people want to learn more about innovation, they can go to your website, govinnovators.com, and there's a white paper there on what is innovation. And this Affirm topic is how to buy innovation how do you have to change the way things are required. I mean, in the commercial world, believe it or not, there are software developers that if they're in the middle of a problem, they'll get out their credit card and they'll sign up for service for Amazon Web Services right there at 2 o'clock in the morning and change, and it'll be done in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be done by 9 o'clock for the customer.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've been on 11 o'clock calls with people in India. They're saying, look, Amazon Redshift just has this change. Get your credit card change, move, it's done. It's mm-hmm. so flexible and international mm-hmm. and collaborative. The government's got to get up to speed with this collaboration. And how can you compete with companies like the company I work for that does have meetings 11 o'clock at night and does have people in all over the world that just change so quickly and rapidly?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, and I don't know that government maybe doesn't need to move that fast. It could move faster on some things, right? But that also goes to, if you talk about buying innovation, a lot of people are asking today, how do you evaluate innovation? But really, what you just pointed out there is a different question. It's what do you ask for in the buy?
Ah.
What do you need? So if you're going to do something different to add value for a customer, what is it? What is the value? And who's the customer or customer segment? And what are you going to change in the organization? Something in the technology model, something in the business model. You might need support in any of those areas or one of them and not others. So what you ask for when you partner with somebody, it could be a contract, but geez, John, it could be an intergovernmental agreement. It could be an MOU. It could be a university through, or it could be a grantee, right? Federal government awards more money in grants every year than it does contracts.
Isn't that amazing?
Lots of partners you can connect with to innovate. Then you need a strategy for what that innovation is going to be and do, and then you can understand what to ask, and then you can know what to go to the partners with.
Speaking of innovation, at the ACT-IAC conference, the ELC, there's going to be two great innovators there, Lisa Schlosser and Casey Coleman. These are women who's involved in technology, and they understand innovation. I mean, you know, I've got, you know, three sisters, a wife, and two daughters. When I see women speaking,
yeah,
I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to say, well, this is a great place to be because
yeah,
you know, women can see what that model behavior is like and emulate them and say, well, I can do the same thing Lisa's done. She's done everything, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, there's awards for women in leadership and women in technology. And you know, I've got two daughters, too. And so we all know the science and engineering and math that girls get away from at a certain age that boys gravitate to. But I think that's... Now that that's recognized, I think that's changing, and I hope so. And ELC is a place where, yeah, those women leaders have built careers as change agents too.
And with the amount of talent out there, I think you have to look at every single character out there, every situation, and maybe attend your session, Technology Innovation Supporting Innovations in Management.
Yeah, there's two.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. I need to rework on that title, but there's two. So innovations, people think about innovation and they think technology, but innovations are made in all kinds of management business processes, in finance, in HR, in so the challenge of innovation in government is it's really what you're going to do different, add value for the customer, and then what that does to your organization. Those are business propositions. Technology supports that, but technology shouldn't lead it. Now, you know the situation. People have budgets to buy things, and they lead with technology.
We'll have to take a break here and maybe come back 6-8 months, talk about innovation and how it's changed with the new technology that's going to be around the corner towards January of 2016. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today, Lou Carasesi. He's the owner of Gov Innovators.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.